Hi, everyone. It's your host, Matilda.
Hadiza.
And Imama.
And you're listening to the Africa Lipso podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Africa Lipso podcast. Today, we are joined by a guest, Hope Hadjard, a digital creator, podcaster, political science and economics major at the University of Notre Dame. I guess it's also encapsulated in digital creator, but she's also a TikTok star. Hi, Hope. How are you doing?
Sorry, I couldn't keep quiet there. Whoa. A star. Oh,
you're
my God.
You're a big star, man.
A super star.
A super star. How are you doing, Hope?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
It's November.
I swear, right? Goddamn.
Wait, Matilda, why the sigh? I don't get. Are you not doing good?
No, but like it's November cold. Is like the Thursday of months. It's not
I've
quite
never
Friday.
Heard this before.
Really,
that's so beautiful.
Do you get like it's
yeah,
not quite deceptive?
It's like the lead up,
mm-hmm. Exactly. And you're like, I'm not really sure what I should be doing here, but like it's almost
you
Christmas.
Prepping. You should be prepping for the Friday for the Christmas.
But then it's all a whole month away, and you know. But I'm grateful regardless. How are you guys?
I'm good. Yeah, I'm doing good. Yes.
School, I know. Hadiza?
I'm good. I just had an exam yesterday and I passed.
Oh, congrats.
Yay, so, congratulations.
Yeah. Was it one of those certifications that you've been doing? Oh my gosh, congrats.
More money.
Do you get?
more money. So I'm in a very good mood now. It's life. My mood is, you know, my mood is really good right now. So. Mood.
We can't even hear it. Honestly, on normal days, Hadiza is like tired. But I guess you're like studying
because life is just generally I guess.
Oh, that's really
okay.
Good news. And Hope, we've been asking all our guests this season pretty much how the pandemic has been and like living through a pandemic. How was it for you, or how has it been since we're still in it?
So the pandemic, I feel like now we're 2 years in, and I think I've learned a lot about myself that I feel it would have taken me like 4 years to learn about myself, because I feel like I had like a factory reset where everything literally stopped, and anything after that, I feel it was a regeneration of some sorts. And I feel like, you know how with winter when the leaves fall off and then, you know, new leaves grow during spring, I feel like the pandemic made all the leaves I knew fall off. And then anything after that, like it grew from new soil. Everything was new. So even like content creation and my podcast, all of these I thought of during the pandemic. And I started doing during the pandemic because I think the pandemic made me do, like, how do I put it? The pandemic showed me my instinct. Like it showed me how I approach uncertainty. It showed me like when you have no work to do, you have no schoolwork, you have nothing. What is it you turn to? I realized I turn to people, I turn to culture, I turn to love. Like I love having conversations, I love uncovering parts of what makes us who we are. Yeah. So I really like, I got exposed to a different part of me that I feel like I would need to go to Bali, you know, in those camps,
yeah.
Shave my entire head.
Eat, pray, love.
Eat, pray, love.
Yeah. I need to eat, pray, love my way through life to discover, oh, wait, I'm technically in a track to do business development consulting or international development, but really, this crackhead energy belongs somewhere else. There's a car, you know, and it cannot be ignored. Yeah. And now is when I actually realize that this thing, you know, as Africans, you're told that this girl, she's so goofy. Yeah? She's a cartoon. No one ever told me for 1 second, perhaps you should consider stand up. You know, no one ever told me consider doing sketch comedy. And so now is when I'm discovering my talents because of the pandemic.
That is such a positive view on that. I love that. Like, you know, you don't really hear a lot of that. So it's really refreshing to hear that it actually helped. And like, you know, I guess it was in a way a blessing of some sort.
Yeah.
It was rough though. Like there were things that went wrong. And, you know, I knew people who passed away. I knew people got sick. I know people who either they lost jobs or they lost a significant chunk of their income. In some ways, I kind of lost a chunk of my income. You know, I went to Kenya for like a short midterm break, and then the pandemic was announced, so I couldn't come back to school. That's where I make my money.
Yeah.
And so I spent 6 months in Nairobi, which was low-key very therapeutic, but it disrupted a lot of things. But it was a winter, and spring has now sprung, and now I'm realizing what has been born of that. I'm realizing what was planted before then, and now it's growing because of that clean slate I got.
Oh, that's honestly, I feel like, yeah, there were positives and negatives in that. So I'm really happy that it's kind of like, it was negative at that point, but then now it's positive. And I like, I was going to ask you like how it was like, because I know you're away from home. So you're originally from Nairobi, right? And like, I thought you were in the US throughout the pandemic, but I guess you just clarified that for a while you were back home as well. Yeah. So it wasn't necessarily isolation. I guess it would have been more isolation if you were here throughout, right?
Oh my God, yes. And I think it's funny because I actually left here because of that isolation. You know, it didn't need a pandemic to feel isolated because of winter. Also because as an international student, there's sometimes when, you know, yeah, you have your Africans around, but sometimes you're tired of translating yourself. The Kenyan accent is not going, so people can't understand what you're saying. You're just tired, you know. So I feel like at that point, the isolation could have been intense, but I feel like maybe doing digital creation also would have helped either way.
Yeah.
Because I feel so connected to people online, and also with doing the type of content I do. By the time you're following me, the people followed me for like 4 years. So they've watched me grow, they've watched me learn. So there's sometimes when you do digital content, when there are people who, like you guys are just birds of the same feather, but you've just never been in the same country, you've never crossed paths, but you're the same, you know, you're in the same WhatsApp group. Eh? Yeah. So I feel like maybe online content creation would have helped.
Yeah. Well, we're so glad that like at least restrictions are being lifted a bit now, and like it's a little bit starting to go back to like what it was before, just a little bit. Hopefully it'll get better. But yeah, so I just wanted to move gradually a little bit into our topic. We're covering identity in this episode, and it kind of throws back to how we first met you, Hope, because we're part of this fellowship for TradMag. Let me shout them out, because like Trad Magazine is like pretty much, they're in line with pretty much what we're doing here. And like this year we joined their fellowship, and like they had a couple of workshops, and Hope, you gave a talk at one of those workshops on identity. And that's how we met you for the first time. It made me think kind of outside the box, because I've never really thought about like how I see myself per se. I just kind of exist, and I just am who I am, and I'm influenced by different things, but I don't always like reflect on how that identity is affected by like where I am and stuff. So like the workshop you gave was very insightful, and I was like, it'd be nice to really have you back and kind of just explore it a bit further. So if you could lead us into the, you know, the definition of identity exactly, like what would be the best definition for you?
I think it changes every day, especially being from multiple backgrounds, because my mom is Kenyan, Pakistani. My dad is almost all types of Arabs you can think of. He's from Sudan, Afghanistan, Egypt. So it changes every day. But I've realized for me, my identity is my selection that is between what people see me as versus what I see myself as. Yeah. So that point of intersection that I approve of, I call that my identity. It kind of has to do with how people see you, because I think it shapes how you're treated and coping mechanisms you need to have. But at the same time, it's internal things that are irrespective of social buckets like gender, race. I think race is, it's not a social bucket, but it has social implications. Ethnicity, let's say your age, things like that, that, you know, regardless of that, do you like to paint? What's your sense of humor? Are you a Dave Chappelle kind of guy? Or are you a Seth Rogen kind of guy? Like, what type of food do you like? And so these are different internal things. So they're internal drivers of your identity, and they're external ones. And that point in between, I think, is what your identity is. The one that you want, though. You come here and select. You can be called things by other people, but it's up to you to select. But then I think it also has an extreme where now you can select something which, like our lady who now we will talk about in this episode.
We definitely need to talk about her. Yeah. Rachel Dolezal.
Yeah.
Oh, the one that faked to be black?
Exactly, yeah. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
The one who identifies as black.
she still identifies as black. Interesting.
She
okay.
has a Nigerian name, right?
Ngozi.
She's called Nkechi.
Nkechi, yeah.
I'm actually screaming, but okay.
Imam and Hadiza, what does identity really mean to you guys?
I haven't really thought about it like that. Let Hadiza go.
So I feel like to some degree, identity is how I'm kind of perceived in the world. Because, I mean, on my own, like, I'm just me. Right? It's when you go out and you see a reaction. But then it's also like, what makes you you? Like, you're Nigerian who lives in Canada. You've interacted with these people, therefore you are like this. So it's really complex. And I think it's always changing. Or at least I like the idea of
a dynamic identity, but I mean
it's static in the sense that of course I'm Nigerian, of course I'm an immigrant, right? Or I'm planning to become an immigrant, I'm immigrant, all of that. But it, in terms of my identity and personality are not the same thing exactly. Like my identity is static, but like how I present could be fluid, but I also think there are rigid confines as well. Like I can't be any other thing except black, but then you know how other people see black might not necessarily be how I see black, and it's just a weird thing. So I don't really know. I just said a whole bunch of nothing, but
it wasn't it wasn't I feel like I don't know that is it static really, because like for example the identity you have right now is not necessarily the identity you had when you were like 10. Do you get what I mean? Because how you just described yourself as an immigrant, right? You weren't always an immigrant.
That is true. And yeah, that is true. Because at 10, no, I wasn't an immigrant. I was also a different religion.
Exactly.
I also was not broke, you know. Brokenness is also an identity. So I don't claim brokenness, but...
I was going to say, do you claim a broke identity?
I'm living that brokenness identity soon, but at 10, like, I was not broke. Like, even though I didn't have money of my own, like, I wasn't broke either, you know?
So, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess you're right to some degree. Martin.
Yeah, I guess it kind of how, like Hope said, I think it's a combination between like how you see yourself and how other people see you. But I guess I wanted to do an exercise. Uh-huh. Except, Imama, did you have a different definition?
Well, I mean, as the Christian that I am, my identity is Christ.
Love it. Love it. Yes. Amen.
No, but I do think, I mean, yeah, as much as that is true, but like, I think like it's kind of what you guys have said. It's kind of how you see yourself and also how, like, I guess it'd be how the world sees you as well.
Yeah.
But I think it's more so how you see yourself than anything, because I don't know that we should identify ourselves the way the world sees us. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. That could be a whole different discussion. But
yeah, I think we should definitely delve into it. But I think regardless of how you want to define yourself, the world will still identify you, and that still has like social implications on you. Do you get? So yeah, but I wanted to do a fun exercise because I did this with someone yesterday, and there were interesting things I found. So like, if someone asked you who you were and like the things that define you, could you list that out?
Who we are and the things that define us.
Yes. So like, okay. Hope, who are you and like what are the aspects of your identity that you identify with pretty much?
That's
a deep question, isn't it?
Deep question.
But you can just throw like words, like it could be like your religion or like, do you get what I mean? It doesn't have to be like super deep, but what are the first things that come to your mind when you describe yourself?
It's a deep question. I feel like in terms of even the words, I think I identify with being a creative, being an artist. I think I am a philosopher in my own way. Like, I love philosophy. Mm-hmm. And I can hear my sister laughing at that. Oh, my God. Wow. I can physically hear her just being like, auntie, what? Sorry, what? But yes, Hanim, I am a philosopher. I feel like I'm also a griot, like a storyteller, a cultural you know, those people who have been stowed with a purpose of just maintaining culture. Mm-hmm. I'm also, I don't know, actually, like, you know what? Erase everything I've said. I'm very, very, very dynamic. And anything I describe myself as right now is very prone to change. And it's very prone to having like a different backbone in the future. Mm-hmm. So right now, what I am is I'm just a human being existing in many facets at very many different times. So I can't describe myself, actually. I can't.
You're everything and nothing. I don't know if you've heard someone say that.
Actually, that is so beautiful. That's actually exactly what I feel. I am everything, and at the same time, I'm nothing. Like, I doesn't have a specific definition.
Wait, what does it mean to be nothing, though?
Imama said, I can never be nothing in Jesus' name.
I think the question...
God, well, I mean, like, I'm just trying to actually understand. It's like, you know, I mean, like, I think, like, you know, I'm just trying to understand, like, what does it actually mean to be nothing?
This statement doesn't... Yeah, go ahead,
sir. Like... You don't exist in one bucket. You're not tied down to a specific thing. It doesn't mean nothing in terms of absence.
Yeah.
It means nothing in terms of you're not tethered to anything.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense.
It's your portion to be anything and even more.
I'm just trying to
understand. It's something in Jesus' name.
I don't break down English again.
Yeah. Okay, that's a really good... I didn't expect that. Interesting. Okay. I can go if you guys want.
Yeah, I know. Because I think you also didn't really define identity. So my sister just...
No, because I agreed with everything you guys said. When I was describing myself yesterday, I used words like, first of all, I feel like I'm Nigerian. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, from that, I'm like a black woman.
Sorry, can I just say that it's interesting that you say black before Yoruba. I really thought about saying you're Nigerian and then you're Yoruba, but you said black first. And that's interesting.
I guess this is part of the exercise, because honestly, when I'm defining myself, Yoruba is not one of my main identifiers, I would say. Mm-hmm. But yes, I'm Nigerian. I'm a black woman. I guess I'm strong-willed.
It's not an easy question. Especially when you think, like, even the people listening to this, like, ask yourself, who are you in terms of these words? And you'll just find yourself having some mental hiccups. Like, you think you know, but when it comes down to it, it's so hard to actually describe it.
Pinned down, yeah. Mm-hmm. And then I'd say I'm open-minded, I guess. I guess you sound more fluid. I don't think I'm as fluid of an energy as you are, but I'm open-minded. Like, I have my own beliefs, but I'm open to hearing other people's beliefs. So I'm not fluid. I'm just open. Hey, Mama?
Why should I go first?
Oh, wait, I forgot. I am a believer of God. That's another belief.
Okay. I think for me, I would say I am Nigerian. I'd say I'm a Christian. I'm a confident person. I stand up for what's right, or for what I believe is right. So I think I'm a stand-up person, or I am a stand-up person. I'm trying to not say I think, because I think saying I think makes me sound unsure in my identity, but I think, I mean, like we've all mentioned, this is kind of like a hard question, so yeah, it might be fair to be unsure a little bit or to just like stumble. But anyways, I'd say I am a stand-up person, so I stand up for what I believe is right. I'm a person that likes, I'm pretty sure there's a word for this, but I like to like experience things and just like fully indulge in like the beauty of the world, I guess, like, I don't know, people, like friends, traditions, like stuff like that. I just like indulging in the beauty of like all of that and life, I guess. I'm a person that loves life. I like life. I love life. I don't know, that sounds weird. But, and I also, I'm a person that fully believes in rest. I think that's my identity.
Amen. Love it.
But it is though. It really is. Yeah. Hadiza.
I identify with the 6-figure lifestyle. I haven't gotten there yet.
Amen.
But I'm on my way there.
Flaviana.
Amen.
But for real, I kind of see life as a period of time to learn generally. Otherwise, it's like life's boring. So I identify as someone who's very curious. So I will learn as much as I possibly can before I die. But I'm also black. I'm Nigerian. I come from a Muslim background. Like, so a curious Nigerian black girl from a Muslim background.
Oh, you also put girl.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, I forgot to identify as a woman. I identify as a woman.
You say I also put girl. Interesting, Matsuda.
No. Okay. I guess I'll give you a second to finish, and then I can like just state like what I found interesting from the conversation I had with this other person yesterday.
And then the last thing I wanted to say, I'm actually done, but the last thing I want to say is this feels like, do you guys ever have one of those seminars at work where they talk about inclusivity and diversity?
Diversity
like,
training?
Yes, this feels like a diversity training meeting.
I feel you. Yeah, I kind of wanted to go through it just because like, it's interesting the dynamics of like how people identify themselves, because yesterday I was speaking with someone that's a black guy. He's also Nigerian. I was just bouncing like ideas off him, and he never identified himself as a guy in his description of himself. And Hope, kind of when you described yourself, you described more of like your mind, like your experience, rather than the boxes that like society puts you in.
Yep.
While like we seem to like identify like Nigerian and like, you know, black women and stuff like that. So the man thing, I wonder if it's like when our identities are part of the majority, do we tend to just not define ourselves with those things? So like if you were white, you know how like it's only now that people are starting to say you should call white people, because like previously in the West, people just don't identify them as white. They are just people, and then everyone else has a race, like you're a black person or you're brown, and they are seen almost as the default,
right?
In a way. So like in the same way that women usually say they're women in their identity, a lot of times men don't. I just found that. Yeah,
interesting. Oh,
that's beautiful, because like we're deviations.
Yeah,
so whenever you deviate standards or you detour, then that's when you actually bring it up.
Yeah, yeah. And like, so it was interesting when Imama asked me, oh, I thought you were going to say Yoruba, but like when we are outside Nigeria, we have a better tendency to identify as just Nigerian, as compared to like when you are in the society, like you are in Nigeria, you now look for another way to identify yourself differently. Like there isn't really, if you think about a Nigerian identity.
I mean, that makes sense. But I guess the reason why I thought you'd say Yoruba, and it's funny because if like an Igbo person or an Edo person, somebody else was talking, I wouldn't think they would actually say like they're Igbo or like their whatever. Tribe. But yeah. The reason why I thought you were going to say Yoruba is because, yeah, their tribe. Yeah, thank you. The reason why I thought you were going to say Yoruba is because most Yoruba people that I know, it's like, it's more of that.
They're more Yoruba than they are Nigerian.
They're more Yoruba than they are Nigerian. Exactly. So like, that's what I thought you were going to say, Yoruba before Nigerian. And I mean, I guess you can also say the same thing for some Igbo people as well, because of the whole Biafra thing. Mm-hmm. You can say they're maybe more Igbo before they are Nigerian. But I have seen it a lot with Yoruba people. But then again, I guess the way you grew up, I don't know if you're like the most authentic. I mean,
how dare you?
You're Yoruba. Don't get me wrong. I know you're about to come for me. You're Yoruba. You're fully Yoruba. But I think like when I compare, like, you know, the way I know that you grew up with like another Yoruba person, it's slightly different. You know what I mean? I don't want to like go into it, but you know what I mean. I think like with some other Yoruba people that I know, they might say they're Yoruba first before they say they're Nigerian. While with you, I guess like it made sense to me that you said you were Nigerian first before Yoruba. But like with most Yoruba people, I kind of expect that Yoruba first before Nigerian. But yeah, you can go ahead with what you're saying.
No, I completely understand. And like, I guess it's one of the aspects of how like where you grew up also really, really affects how you identify yourself. Yeah. Because I know a lot of Yoruba people, either they grew up in families that strongly identify with that as well. So it's also, I guess, also your family values. But I always grew up outside a Yoruba state. So I was never really in the places where I grew up. And there was a part of my childhood too that I wasn't in Nigeria as well. So I was always surrounded by like just a general Nigerian crowd. It was never just Yoruba people. So it's easier to identify. But yeah. Oh, yes. I also wanted to talk about, in regards to like how we just talked about our identities, there's a theory, right? It's called identity theory. And there's this guy that developed it. His name is Stryker. That's his last name, in 1968. he talked about how like various identities that comprise the self, the things that we identify ourselves as, exist in a hierarchy of salience where the identities that are ranked highest are more likely to be invoked in situations that involve different aspects of the self. So to break that down in like more normal English, it's like...
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's a lot of words.
there's pretty much like the groups we identify ourselves with all exist in a hierarchy. So like how we said Nigerian black woman, blah, blah, you identify with each of those classes to a different degree. And the person gave an example of like there was a guy running for mayor and he dropped out of the race because his children strongly disapproved of politics. He got a lot of backlash, like it makes no sense. He was on his way to winning and everything. And then he said a lot of people that were criticizing him probably weren't fathers themselves. So in that situation, he identified more as a family man than he did as a politician. Do you get what I mean? Mm. So sometimes our roles kind of conflict, and that's where you see that there's a hierarchy to how you identify with different things. Have you guys ever experienced that?
Yeah, I have. I feel like in terms of that, first, just as a note to what you said with your identity, I think it's very interesting. I don't know how long you've been in Canada for, but like based on the Kenyans I've interacted with who've been here, sometimes we mention our race before our tribe because we've had to be black more than we've had to be Luo or Kikuyu. And so sometimes it's called political salience. So, you know, you've been part of the black category for, you know, you've had to be more black than you've had to be Yoruba. And you can't ever let go of your Yoruba part. The same way you can't ever not be black unless you are our dear lady who we will talk about. you know, in that respect, I feel you. I understand why you would identify as black before Yoruba and why someone would flip it and have maybe the inverse. I think if you were in Nigeria right now, you'd probably say Yoruba before black. You might not even have ever had to say black. Because when are you not black in Nigeria? Unless you're in an expat community.
Yeah, it's interesting because in Nigeria, I don't know if this is the same for everyone else, but because black is the majority, I never actually identified myself as black until when I came here. We were just Nigerian. We weren't black. That black was the norm, pretty much, as I never had to think about it.
And it's actually funny because even when I would watch shows, like my parents would definitely say like, oh, look at this like African-American, black American. But it's like in all of that, we still never called ourselves black, even though we could see, we could identify black Americans and stuff like that. But to us, we're just the norm.
Yeah, and with that, I think Huma Sekela kind of, so on my podcast, I usually talk about how it's very sensitive to talk about our identities as countries sometimes, because we forget the fact that our countries haven't existed for more than 100 years. They were drawn on a map, cut like pieces of cake, like slices, and, you know, different European countries claimed them according to natural resources. Mm-hmm. So for me to say Kenya didn't exist 100 years ago. I am truly a Nilot because my ancestors are mostly Nilots, like from River Nile, with the Luo background and with the Sudanese background. I have Nubian heritage. So for me...
Oh, you're a Nubian queen.
I just thought of it. I just didn't want to say it because...
But it actually, like, for me sometimes, also I think from being from a mixed background, you see, I didn't mention my racial identity, I didn't mention my ethnic one, because which one do I choose? Which one do I now claim to be?
It's
like
a bit more
Kenyan? Complex
for you.
A lot of, I've had people go into war on my TikTok comments, like, no, she's Kenyan, no, she's Sudanese, no, she's Somali, no, she's, and the whole time I'm just there watching, you know, eating some popcorn, just being like, joke is on all of you, because I'm not any of those at the core of my being. The moment I claimed to be Kenyan, I was rejected. The moment I'm claiming to be Sudanese, I'm even rejecting myself because I've not grown there. I've not grown up there. So I even disqualify myself before I enter the race. But the reason is kind of like with a lot of people from mixed backgrounds, whether it's ethnicity, race or whatnot, you realize that none of that at the end of the day truly plays a role in who you are. And so you can pick Nigerian if you're full Nigerian, yeah? But you realize, what is it about being Nigerian that has rubbed off onto you? That's truly what you are. Yeah. So I can't even say right now. I think I'm everything. Mm-hmm. And that's why even my podcast, I tend to include even people in the diaspora, because now I understand the level of awkwardness trying to describe who you are when you do, people say no. And then when you don't, people are trying to say no, but you're this. So it's so weird if you come from multiple backgrounds or if you've grown up in different areas, even like being part of the Africa diaspora right now. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I love Ethiopian food and like I feel like that shit is entering my spine, you know. But then it's so hard to believe I'm not Ethiopian because of how much I cling to the culture. But yeah. At the same time with South African music, like going back to Ringo Madlingozi and, you know, Miriam Makeba and their history and having lived there for 2 years, there's also a part of South Africa in my veins. So I realize in one part, I don't cling to it because there's like, for me, I identify more with language groups and, you know, like pre-colonial, because that's the most. But at the same time, when you come from a mixed background, anyone listening to this, they know, how can you even claim any side? Both sides, no one will fully accept you. Mm-hmm. And even for you, you're an aggregate of everything. And then when you're mixed, you even now choose other cultures that you don't really even, you're not even from. Like someone like Trevor Noah, I wouldn't be shocked if Trevor Noah is somehow interested in being Mexican. And he actually fully, you know, when you're not leashed to any culture, now you even start exploring for real, for real. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's also why I didn't mention
anything. You didn't mention anything when you were describing.
Because I can't be. If I choose one, it becomes very complicated. So I've had to be a creative. I've had to be the quote unquote philosopher that my sister, that she laughed at. And then I've had to be, I'm a twin. I'm a twin sister.
Oh, are you?
Yeah. But, and also being a twin has taught me how there's some things I can't say I am. Because being a twin teaches you a lot about individuality, ironically. Especially as we are not identical. So I've had to be hyper self, you know, because you have to cling on to who you think you are so that you're not boxed into one thing with your sister.
With your sister. Did they buy you guys matching clothes?
My God, yeah. And then they even used to give me, because I used to be more like calm, they used to give me pink to wear. And then because she used to be more like playful, they used to give her blue. You guys.
No way.
So yeah, and then twins, you're told who's the good one, who's the bad one. As if we can't have that hybridity.
Yeah.
Exactly. So I'm very much for hybridity.
Why
was
that a thing that people did?
It's just it's natural. People like to like box. They want to be able to know how to treat you guys, to separate you two, but they don't realize they're actually forcing you into this one category that you can't get out of. And that's how I feel about my ethnicity. I can't be one thing. I can choose to be Kenyan and Sudanese and Pakistani, but also have a deep love for Ethiopian food and a very deep love for South African music. Mm-hmm. And that's me. And because that doesn't fully exist yet, I tend not to describe myself according to that scale.
Mm-hmm. It's interesting that, like, I think the same happens, like, with America, for example. A lot of mixed people now are identifying as just mixed rather than black because, like, they are saying that, like, although America still sees you as black, it's not really true because, like, some of them grew up with their white parents. And to be honest, like, they're more white in culture or whatever than they are, like, what people culturally would describe as black in America. So, and then you see some mixed people also just choose to identify as black as well. So it definitely is, as we go back to like what we said at the beginning, a mix between how you see yourself and how the world
sees
you.
And how people see you. That's very true. That's very true.
But I guess I brought up that like the salience and like the hierarchy because there have been times where like, you, for example, in the feminist movement, for example, how we're starting to talk about like intersectionality and everything, right?
That word is heavy.
Yeah.
It's okay.
But it's just like...
Take your time.
But it's just like sometimes it's like, are you a woman? Do you feel like you're a woman first? Or like, are you black first? And like, what do you place more importance on? Like, I'm fighting for and stuff. But I guess... In the feminist movement, like where we're moving towards is this like everything is as important, but the truth is that it's not to everybody.
It's also what you've had to be more. Like if you've had to be your race more than your gender, you'll obviously now identify with your race more. If you're a white woman, I think you've had to be a woman first before you've had to be white. Because when you're at the point of privilege, I feel like comfort, the sound of comfort is silence.
Yeah.
So when you are part of the privileged group, you never ever have to consider it. what's the need for considering it?
That's interesting. The thing where it's like, you know, depends on what you've had to be more, because it's like, what if you've had to be as much Black as you've had to be as much a woman? So it's like, how then do you decide which one is more of your identity?
I think there still is a hierarchy there. Like, even though I honestly feel sometimes... Okay,
but like, for instance, wait, sorry, Matilda, okay, sorry to cut you, but for instance, in engineering, like, let's say like in... engineering, especially, let me not say engineering in general, but specifically in Carleton, that's the university we went to, Carleton Engineering, did you feel like you had to be Black more than you had to be a woman, or you had to be one woman more than Black?
I'm definitely more, I feel like Black, I'm than woman.
More Black than woman, yeah.
Matilda, you're an engineer?
Oh, we're all
just gonna skim yeah,
we're
up
all, we're all engineers.
All engineers.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. All right. You guys are the true stars that we're talking about. The true superstars. Wow, you're engineers. Look at all three African dreams. Wow.
I'm screaming.
My mother is proud of you.
A parent's wet dream, honestly.
Do you guess?
Wow. Superstars. We thank God. We thank him, man. Okay. All right.
But yeah, no, I definitely was more Black than I was
really
a woman. Yeah.
That's interesting though. Like, the reason why I actually thought we were gonna say woman, because it's like a lot of times when we talk about our engineering experiences, even on the podcast, it's like we usually always say how, like, you know, as a woman in engineering, like, you know, sometimes it's like we experience this. So how is it that you now feel like you are more Black than you were a woman?
I think Hadiza should answer this one, because I think our answers are the same. But yeah, Hadiza, okay. Go ahead.
Oh my God, I was definitely Black. Like, I don't even know. How do I begin to even break down why I was more Black than woman? Because looking at the way even women in engineering were treated, I still felt like... there are certain scenarios that if I was a white woman, like, the scenario would have gone on a little bit differently from me being like Black and stuff. And not only was I Black, I was also new to the country, and
immigrants
with a strong, like, I accent. Mean, strong accent and stuff like that. Like, no, like, I was Black.
No, I was Black.
Let me tell you how I knew I was more Black, because towards the our fourth year project and everything, I was able to find a group of other Black guys, and engineering was fine for me at that point. Once I found my Black and other, like, they were first generation, like, other immigrants. They didn't even have to be Black, but they were just minority cultures, and I was able to have like although once in a while the woman thing would still come up, it wasn't really what defined my experience, as compared to like when I was in a group project with like all white people. It was a bigger barrier to like get over.
I think also you've had to be Black in everything, like in your career.
Exactly.
When you walk out of the door, you're Black. Like, it's in your face more than your gender at that point.
Yeah.
Whereas obviously you're a woman, but in some places we have privilege when we're women. In some, not a lot. In some, no. Like maybe.
In Nigeria, I was a woman. I was of a woman. Because that patriarchy
is just coming for you. You see. Mm-hmm. So it's also, what have you had to be more of? But it's funny because all of us are talking about our social identity, our racial identity, and part of the evidence to show that it's what you have to encounter more of is none of us here have mentioned our sexuality or our gender as much as we've mentioned, because we're assuming, exactly. So we're you see how silent our privilege has been this whole time, because we're not part of the other. Actually, right now I'm looking at a chat. Yes, girl. But you see, the when tying it to sexuality, we've kind of
Like straight.
No, mentioned I'm a straight woman. I'm a gender fluid woman.
Dang, that's
and so
true.
I'm looking at something right now. Like it's called the social identity theory, and it mentions that you're more. It's kind of like the hierarchy Matilda was talking about, but it mentions that the core is your personal identity, then above that is your social identity, and then above that is your social categorization. Mm-hmm. And then now the last one is divided into two groups. It's the in-group, where you're part of the we, and the out-group, where you're part of the they. And I think when you're mixed, like as like when you're mixed so many day groups, social categorization, social identity, you tend to identify more with your personal identity. Because none of these categories, you can even pick one in. So right now, Trevor Noah is more a comedian than he even is African. Because he's had to be, he can't even cling on to any of those. So if you find a comedian who is gender fluid, who doesn't even necessarily identify as bi or gay or anything, maybe they're very fluid in terms of their sexuality, you find that maybe they just consider themselves a kind person. That's what they are. Because you can't even identify as anything else.
That was interesting. So,
yeah,
this reminds me of the when conversations were going around when people were like, oh, Beyonce is finally identifying as black and everybody is going crazy because she started doing black, like having black like content and stuff like that. Or how
have you guys seen that that it was like a skit of like the day Beyonce became black? Have you guys seen that? Oh, no. I'm gonna share it.
I think that would be
on our social media. It was like white people being like, is Beyonce black?
Oh my god, Beyonce. Yeah, she's been doing a lot, and it's interesting because she's also explored the question of identity with, you know, her African heritage, talking about, you know, bloodline Rwanda, you know, with the
Yoruba.
Yoruba.
Yes.
But, you know, but they're exploring and they're learning a lot. And Blue Ivy is out here wearing Maasai like jewelry. And it also makes me wonder,
when
you're exploring your identity, is it okay to now, like for us, if you claim East African identity, but maybe your bloodline isn't that, are you allowed to now? I don't know. I just wonder how someone who's of African American heritage, where they're not really sure where their ancestry is from, My heart, because first of all, you're lucky, you can really explore any culture. But I know some people like back home who are like, okay, but how do I know for real you're part of, like, how do I know you're not, can African Americans appropriate African culture is basically the question.
Or the other way around,
you know. But I feel like it's a sad conversation to even have. I'm like, bro, just give them this one. Like, if they choose to, okay, apart from the lady who, our dear lady who we will discuss, yeah, like if someone chooses to have like a different, like if you're an African American and you choose to call yourself, you know, Chizoma, my friend, do your worst. Even take my name while you're at it. I think it's like the one pass you get, like just, you know what, do it. But other people actually don't agree with that.
Like, I think the problem with like when they do is that because there's such a strong, again, that categorization thing where you've identified like key things that make this group. And then when people feel like the group is being threatened, like the identity of the group is being threatened, I think they try to other the person, because a lot of times, like what happens, at least what I've seen anyways, is they become this whole, like all these like, what are they called? Hoteps? I don't know. Is hotep like a derogatory term? No?
I've never heard,
you know,
of
those,
what is that?
Like a hotep, like all these, we was kings.
I think it is, but it's usually kings and against queens. Men, and people don't like to acknowledge when derogatory terms are used against men, unless it's like nigga or something like that. But I feel like people, I've only ever seen a hotep used for a guy.
So what's the term that you call them? No, they're hotep women too.
But what I'm trying to say is like a lot of times what happens is like their interpretation of the culture, because of their cultural background, is usually different from what exists right now. That's where usually the criticisms come from. Like when people, like for example, with Beyonce rediscovering her roots now and everything, a lot of people feel like she might not have so much context to like a lot of stuff she's saying. Do you get what I mean?
Yeah, like mixing Kenyan jewelry with Nigerian. Exactly. And we're like, how do you, and then this one is given to maybe women who've come of age. Like there's a cultural symbolism
context
towards it.
Yes.
But then usually in my mind, I'm just like, if you're able to educate yourself on the significance towards it and you have African descent, then do it. Mm. Like let's say recent African descent. Because a lot of people say, you're not from Africa, why are you doing it? And I argue, you fucking are. Mm-hmm. Sorry, you actually are. It's just that the links were, you're not able to trace back your link, but you are from there. And yeah, and now discuss our dear lady.
Oh, yes, please. Hadiza, I'll give you the honor of this one. Because Hadiza...
Me?
Remember at the beginning, you are literally the one that was like, you have so much to say about Rachel Dolezal. If I'm pronouncing that right.
What's her name?
Please stop calling her Nkechi.
What's her name? She's Nkechi.
Rachel?
Yeah. Okay, so she identifies as black. She says she is black. I just don't know how that happened. I guess when it happened, it kind of shocked everyone. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the first time you heard about the Rachel, I can't pronounce her last name.
Me too. Story. I think it's Dolezal. Yeah. So apparently, okay. So just a little bit of a backstory. She was this woman that, like, I think you read. I'm just going to read her.
She's not dead.
She's not dead, but like her black identity is kind of being rejected right now, so I don't know. She is anyways but Rachel Dolezal, I'm reading this straight from Wikipedia, also known as Nkechi Diallo, is an American former college instructor and activist known for presenting herself as a black woman and having been born by white parents. She's also a former National Association for the Advancement of Colored People. That's the NAACP chapter president. So this is an association for the advancement of colored people. And she was a president in one of their chapters. Mm. And this woman, again, was born to white parents. So she literally perms her hair and uses products to, like, darken her skin. And I guess the reason we're bringing this up is just to kind of talk about the difference between, like, personal identity and social identity. Because personal identity is how you see yourself versus, like, you know, social identity, which is the groups that the society generally just puts you in. Because, you're technically, like, it's a social construct, but you are white, but you're claiming to be black.
It's interesting because she, from her accounts, now, I will say that people have said she lies a lot. I mean, like, this is just general statements. Like, a lot of people come out to say that she's lying here, she's lying there, like, she's just lying generally.
In terms of what?
Like, okay,
I think
for example, she
lied that she had a fellowship in South Africa or something like that.
She lied. Well, we don't know. Okay, I don't know what lies they said were discounted. And one that really came up that was big was she said she was assaulted by her brother and stuff right? That happened. And I mean, with some things like that, like, I don't know. Right, but because people were like, oh, she lies generally, people now, I think they didn't end up charging her brother for that and stuff like that. Like, I guess people just couldn't tell or can't really tell when she's, like, being truthful or not and stuff like that, right? Mm-hmm. But the story goes she has always identified as black, like, even from a child. I think she kind of had a she said there was literally this picture. Now, like I said, that's what I started with. People say she lies a lot, so we don't know if she was lying about this one, but she apparently has a picture of a drawing she drew when she was, like, a kid, and the self-portrait was a dark-skinned girl with, like, slightly curly hair. Like, this is how she has seen herself. She said, I think she has, like, kind of a rough upbringing and stuff like that too, so I guess it probably was a way for her to kind of, she said she saw the story goes she saw something on Nat Geo, like, she saw a couple black people and stuff like that on some channel, and she just kind of, like, was like, oh, like, this is who she wants to be, this is the kind of people she wants to identify with, this is who she is at a very young age, and she kind of carried on. And she also, her parents also adopted black kids. But after, later on, like, when she was much older, which kind of added, you know, she found a reason to kind of fuel her wanting, because, you know, she said growing up her parents didn't let her watch TV or read books, so here's a reason she was like, oh, I can educate myself on being black so I can help raise these kids that you adopted to be as black as possible. So that's
why you can do that without being black yourself. But I'm just going to read a quote. This is a quote from The Guardian. They had an interview with her in 2015. And she said, for me, how I feel is more powerful than how I was born. I mean that not in the sense of having some easy way out. This has been a lifelong journey. As you said, she's identified with her like that since she was young, allegedly. She says, this is not something that I cash in, cash out, change up, do at a convenience level, or to freak people out or to make people happy. If somebody asked me how I identify as black. Nothing about whiteness describes who I am. End quote. So, is this, I want to be kind of like, careful about, I guess, the conversation, because I'm going to say this and I'm going to take this off. But for example, transsexual people, like trans people generally, they also don't feel they were born in the right body. So like, can this be seen as...
Are you saying, can somebody be transracial?
Yes. So can somebody be transracial?
I don't think that's a bad thing to say. I mean, Rihanna was fully backing her. And I mean, some a Nigerian gave her the name. So there are definitely
Rihanna was backing Rachel.
To some degree in the beginning. Yeah, like in the beginning, like I think Rihanna had tweeted that, oh, it's great to see, like, you know, like usually it's the opposite where like black people are trying to achieve some level of whiteness because that's the norm and stuff. But like, it's interesting to see the kind of the roles flipped or the flip situation and stuff like that. I think she wasn't necessarily supporting it per se. She was just commenting on how like people should go easy her, like, as in, it's just an interesting thing to see, like nothing to like destroy her life for, kind of thing. But I mean, she did a lot more than that though. So
okay, so I guess, so the question then, I guess, do you think people can be transracial? Like, do you think, I mean, not can be, because I mean, I guess anybody can be what they want to be, but it's like, do you think it's okay for people to be transracial? And actually, like, maybe Hope should answer first.
Yeah, please, Hope.
So I feel like if you choose to cling on to, you know, a lot of the problem with transgender people, something they struggle with is people say that you can't, some people say you can't claim to be a gender because gender is a social construct and it should be more fluid. But the thing is, I think race is so much more of a social construct, because if you say you're choosing to be black, it assumes there is one blackness to become. And whereas if you choose to be a woman, it's a very binary thing historically where it's man, woman, you know. So, but if you say you choose to be black, it's assuming that there's one black, there's, you know, just one form of blackness that you're now becoming. And it's not a monolith that you can now just wear as an outfit, I think. And it's funny because she actually, I've been reading about her throughout the conversation, and she apparently changed her name to also be able to, she started losing jobs because of people finding out that she's not black. Apparently she moved around as if she's black, and she started losing her job and everything. So she changed her name in part to also be able to, quote unquote, be known for her qualifications. And she still didn't, you know, she still wasn't able to get jobs. And right now, I've seen a picture where she's like in braids and she's saying she's, you know, she has braids at that point to be able to market her products, her service, because she braids hair, to be able to provide for her three children and things like that.
That's the part I kind of felt
bad for. It actually affected her financially. But I think it's like, it's okay to identify as an African because... Okay, first of all, African is not a culture, but I think it's easier to identify with a culture than as a race. Because if you say you feel inwards black, what is that black that you feel? What is it about being black? Is it that you feel a skin color as if a skin color can be attached to a way of being? As if me being black means I am more this or more that? No. Me being black, literally, it's just the package that I came with. I'm still the same human product.
Exactly.
So it's like you claiming to be a it's like you claiming to be a package rather than the product. It's a very important distinction to make. I'm not one to speak to her reality. She's the only one who knows what she goes through. But I feel like the conversation and the discourse around racial identity that she's brought up has just shown me further that you cannot be black is not a flavor. What about mixed race? What identity is that? What if I identify as mixed race? What does that even mean?
I don't know. But like, it's the conversation about even like, you know, blackfishing like became so much, so popular in the last 2 years. But in that situation, people were doing it for financial benefit because there was a space for like, you know, those mixed looking people. Mm. And then the white people wanted to take up that space. So it's like, I think the reason it gets a lot of backlash is because first of all, it's a minority culture. And second of all, because you're doing it kind of for a benefit, because Rachel specifically wasn't just even any black woman. She was a professor and like she was president of the subject matter.
She's so, an activist.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like, you're not even just like a regular black person. You are speaking on behalf of. Yeah, exactly. So it's like, we don't know.
It's very complicated. Wait,
so is it okay if they're not going to take up space meant for like, I mean, is it okay if they're not like, you know, getting financial gain, but they're just living their lives as regular black people? Is it okay then?
No, it's not okay either way. And it's especially not okay if you're going to make money off of something which people have even been disenfranchised from. So let me ask you, does it feel right? I know, you know, the question of homophobia and transphobia and all these things. I know if we go with our instincts and our primal urge, we might end up being more ignorant. But you see, with this situation, it's weird if you cling on to like a man-made construct. For me, it's weird. Because the idea of black, you go to Africa, there's so many ideas of, there's so many facets to being black that black ceases to become a thing. Black is a primarily Western concept, again, because it's deductive from being white.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What if I identify as white? What does that mean? There's so many types of white. There's the Scandinavian, there's the Nordic. Exactly. Yeah, you see. But so then what does it mean to identify as black? Because her going back to, like, let's say her going to Kenya, she identifies as black, but chances are she's identifying more to black, like African-American culture here, which then I understand.
Exactly.
Because it's, here, black is synonymous with African-American culture, which is not one thing, but there is like...
a general...
They've had to become, you know, they've had to carve out spaces uniquely for themselves, so...
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was just kind of an interesting study of like how it really is a difference between personal identity and like social identity, because honestly, I think personally she can like to identify as whatever she wants to, but then it now starts being dicey because there's social implications of whatever you choose to identify with versus what the society puts you in, and just that dichotomy, I guess. I think I'm using a word I don't know. But yeah, you know what?
Big words.
Yeah, I think that it's very, very dicey, and it can get dicey. So I think just being aware of those things, how the world sees you versus how you see yourself, sometimes is very important to be aware of.
Wait, I have a question before she goes. And I mean, this is for everybody as well. What are some, I know like we just had like, not heavy, but it was like, you know, of like deep, serious conversation, but like, what are some like lighter, like more like fluffier ways to identify yourself?
A cartoon. I think I'm a cartoon. I identify very much, like I'd love to voice animation characters. If you guys know a cartoon or someone
that into being.
Yes, I'd love to voice character. I also play with accents, so I think a cartoon is very much so that, and a dancer. Okay, not a dancer, but like a dancer. You know, not this legwork butterfly, but like you could just feel the vibes. Come on, let's go. Me, I'm not those 1, 2, 3. You know, when you start counting numbers in dancing, that's when I clock out. I don't want alphabets or numbers in my dances, as we just bring the vibes, man. Yes,
vibe. Love it.
A cartoon who dances, yeah.
A cartoon who dances. I love it. Matilda?
I think I'm a bad person for answering this. I think I'm very like a serious person. So like, I don't know.
But you're not always serious, Matilda.
There's always a light part. There has to be like a light part.
Wait, you guys go first. I'll describe it later.
Yeah, Hadiza.
Oh, me?
Okay.
Yes.
So, okay. Fluffy ways I've identified myself. I used to identify myself as the girlfriend of, do you guys know that Stop. Fred from Scooby-Doo?
Okay.
The blonde yeah. dude?
Yeah.
I used to be his girlfriend.
You used like, to date him. Okay.
No, for real. I'm like, as a kid, like, oh my God, you know, at the end of Scooby-Doo, they would show him in a circle. I would literally blow this dude kisses. Like, I'm not even. I did that till so I was like piece. 7 or 8. Like when I should have had sense, I was doing it.
And I moved to say 17. I was actually about to scream.
No.
Age, that then is a I lot of sense. From,
yeah, like, and then I moved from him, Fred, to what's that boy's name again? Troy. Like, what's my deal with
hey, high school music? Chiar. Oh my God, he was, yeah, he
at
was
at least
dreamy.
He was a human being.
You know who mine was? Mine was Nick Jonas. Like, you could not tell me I was not gonna marry Nick Jonas. I just knew.
He was amazing. You know, I cried when I found out he had diabetes. At that age,
aww.
I couldn't believe my husband.
A lot of people cried. A lot of girls actually cried. It was a heartbreaking thing for them.
Sad, yeah.
How about you, Mama?
But yeah. I think, I don't know, I have a lot of things. Like, I'm a daydreamer. I don't know, I'm a fun person. I think that's how I identify myself. I'm mm-hmm. just a fun person. I joke a lot. I definitely love banter. And I also daydream a lot. So I think, yeah, that's how I identify myself in a fluffy, lighter way. Yeah, I've had time to think.
I don't think this is as fun, but I view myself as a basketballer. No one can tell me otherwise.
Hey,
by the way, I'm 5'2".
Hey, I love to see it.
So, of course,
five
it's
two.
A dream.
reach for the stairs, don't worry.
Okay, we're all dreamers.
before I went into university, I watched Love and Basketball over and over again. And I could have sworn that was going to be
screaming.
My university experience. I thought I was going to be on the varsity team. I thought I was God. Going to find love with another basketballer.
Of course. That forbidden baller love. Baller alert.
Identified hey. With it. But yeah.
Oh, well, don't worry. Don't worry. Okay, good things take time.
Yeah. Thank you so much, you guys. Thank you so much. I had so much fun. Actually, Hope. Can you just talk about your podcast?
Okay. So I am the host of the Afroverse, which is an Africa and Africa diasporan collective that shares stories and has conversations on anything love, laughter, and living in the African universe. It's my, I call it my living room. It's my mental living room. And I get to talk with awesome people. I also usually have topics which I talk about and the audience directly contributes. Mm-hmm. So I usually have voice notes, videos and messages straight from the audience on topics such as, is it better to live in Africa or to live away? What do you think about dowry? What are the relationship myths from where you're from or, you know, just for you? Mm-hmm. And my hope is to connect Africa and the diaspora on topics that cut across all our cultures.
Thank yeah. you. And where can we check you out? Please plug your TikTok too, because that's really where you're a big star.
This tier.
Yeah.
So you can find me at Hope Ajir on Instagram, and you can also find my show, The Afroverse Show, just at Afroverse Show on literally all platforms. And I would love to have, you know, people on Afrocalypso, the audience, you know, join Afroverse. I feel like we have very, very many. We're like literally the same family. So yeah. I'd invite them to also listen in. And you can find me on Instagram mostly. My stories, me, I just post. I like to have convos. So usually if you want like an online buddy, I'm there. Just add me and then we'll discuss yes. some pertinent topics.
Oh, pertinent. I love that.
Yeah. Yeah, dichotomy. There we go.
Thank you so much for coming on and having this conversation with us. I feel like we learned a lot really from you. And you really diversified our conversation as well, because like we
bring a new perspective.
Exactly. And like, yeah, because three of us have not the same identity, but like similar. So it was nice to think outside the box and everything. So this was really nice. Thanks for coming.
Thank you guys for having. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.